This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts,
we have our next guest on the phone with us.
We have Tash York on the line, and Tash is quite a multi-talented performer.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, she's brainwashed you already and told you.
From what I hear, she's a singer, improviser, cabaret performer, MC, and a balloon twister.
I'm glad you added that one because I've seen her make things with balloons.
Really?
And they're actually quite naughty. No, they're not.
Depends on the audience. I feel like that's what you'd request. Tash, thank you so much for coming on the show today. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for the lovely introduction.
Yeah, well, from what I can see, you've had like multiple five-star reviews for a bunch of shows you've done, and you've won awards at fringe festivals and done a lot of touring as well. It sounds like you have quite a history behind you.
Yeah, definitely. I've been doing a lot of the fringe circuits and stuff with cabaret since maybe like 2015. And from my first one, I kind of got addicted from there. And, you know, at first it was a bit of a struggle, but, you know, as you sort of weave your way through and around the industry and, you know, make work with good people, it gets easier and easier as it goes on, you know, a pandemic aside, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a great time.
But you started off as a musical theatre person and realised that wasn't really for you, is that right?
That's right. There we go. Sorry, my Apple Watch just started talking in the interview then, so that's good. I studied at the Con in Brisbane doing musical theatre, and we did a cabaret like subject for I think it was like 2 weeks or something. We had to put a show together in 2 weeks, just all of us together, and I just thought this concept's so wild, just like telling your own stories and getting to sing songs in different ways. And I just like became addicted immediately, and I was like, oh no, I still have a year and a half of uni to go, but I finished it. Then swiftly moved down to Melbourne to figure out more about cabaret and, you know, independent producing and all of that. So, because I was in Brisbane. So, yeah.
Well, but how do you cope with that? Because it's a tough world anyway, but then all of a sudden producing your own show and, you know, like, and having to go out there and sell yourself and prove yourself by, you know, like, getting on the circuits. Did you find it hard to begin with? Because, you know, now you've forged a name for yourself, but how hard was it in the early days?
Look, you have to love it. It has to be something you're really dedicated to. And I think, you know, as I sort of say to a lot of people that I mentor at cabaret now, I'm like, cabaret is 80% admin and 20% performing. and so, you know, if you're good at that sort of side of things when you're starting out, it's a lot easier. And if you can accept that early on, but if you're not that kind of person, then make sure that you have someone that you really trust as a producer on board, because, a lot of it is that it's convening with venues and making sure you've got the right time slot, making sure you've got a piano and a pianist and a rehearsal space when you get to a new place, booking your own flights, accommodation, writing your own blurbs, writing your own press releases and sending it out yourself, you know. So it's fairly thankless work for the first couple of years, that's for sure. But definitely getting to stand up there and tell your own stories, and, you know, I've been very lucky to be reviewed very well, and it's very encouraging when the industry is behind you as well.
Yeah, and getting those great reviews at the Adelaide Fringe Festival, which is quite huge, and bringing it back here to Melbourne, where you're very well known on the circuit, must all of a sudden be really hard for you right this very moment where, bang, all of a sudden that a lot of it just disappears for you.
Yeah, definitely, especially for someone like me where, you know, because I'm from Brisbane and then obviously the Adelaide audience, and I often go to Perth Fringe as well. So usually for me, a regular year will look like, you know, certain parts of the year in certain places. And, you know, there's certain gigs that, you know, every, you know, July I normally go up to Queensland and go into a particular festival there. And, you know, every like winter, you know, you go to Adelaide. Like, there's so many things that kind of exist, I guess, in the independent scene, in the circuit, that relies on being able to travel interstate, certainly further than 10 kilometres. And It has been very difficult to try and, I guess, pivot and figure out how do I still access everyone and how do I still make work in such a different environment. So I guess that's where the online streaming thing came, because there's really no borders involved with that. So.
Yeah, but how do you make money out of that? You know, like, are people paying to stream your show or...?
Yeah, so I saw a lot of people doing, like, when the pandemic first hit, I saw a lot of people kind of going on Facebook Live and putting it out there and, you know, that kind of thing that we do as artists and go, here, let me entertain you, I'm sorry you're going through a hard time, because that's what we love doing. And obviously definitely got involved with some of that when it first started and realized quite quickly that, you know, just because you pop a PayPal link on the screen, not everyone's going to know how to do that or how PayPal works or have it set up. And so I kind of decided to change the model a little bit and, you know, base it on a ticket-based system. So I set up a try booking, and my tickets ranged from $5 to $25, so that anyone could pay whatever they could, because I knew that some people were going through a really hard time, and I also knew some people weren't and were happy to pay a full price for a ticket. And so basically then people would buy their tickets, and then they'd get a link sent to them for the show, like the day of the show, and that link was just on YouTube. So it was a really easy way of people just to click the YouTube link. They can pop it on their TV, they can pop it on their iPad, whatever it is, and yeah, it's just a more accessible way that doesn't sort of restrict people from, you know, knowing how to do those certain things. And for me as well, it was important that, you know, if anyone was struggling financially, I always put it out there that they could reach out and I'd send them the link, because obviously, you know, it was still that idea of community and bringing everyone together in a sort of theatre sense. But, you know, having that live chat on the YouTube and seeing everyone responding to each other and asking, you know, what everyone ordered on Uber Eats tonight, or, you know, what we're all drinking, and everyone, like, communicating with each other from all different parts of Australia. Brilliant. Was just so lovely.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, like, do you get people from all over Australia watching? Is that what happens?
Yeah, definitely. And it was even surprising, you know, when last year when Melbourne was the only place in lockdown, that I still had people tuning in from Queensland and from, you know, South Australia as well, particularly in South Australia, because they had such strict rules around live music and live singing there that they actually didn't have, like, music gigs there for quite a long time of our lockdown. So it was actually a way of them accessing a live singing gig, you know, obviously through the internet, but it was still, you know, done live, that I didn't expect, I guess, to have that market of people to come through. But, you know, I'm very lucky that I've got, you know, fans sort of in every port, which is great. They'll often tune in to pretty much all of them, which is
fantastic. And something amazing happened to you this last week here in Melbourne, and because I've known you now for a couple of years and I've been meaning to get you on, but, you know, like, it was always never really worked out onto Sunday Arts. But, you know, like, there was a huge story in The Age this week with a massive photo of you. Tell our listeners about it.
Well, I was actually speaking with Trevor Jones, and Trevor Jones said that a journalist had approached him, and he was like, I think I should get you involved with the article. And the article was based on that exists online for Cabaret. And Trevor Jones, if you may not know, he's a wonderful, wonderful pianist, an incredible musical director, amazing cabaret performer, and I was just, thrilled to be involved. And then I kind of feel like I hijacked it off him in the end, because they ended up putting a massive photo of me on there. But yeah, I think it was really cool that, like, you know, something like The Age was interested in the fact that this is the way that independent artists are trying to survive through lockdowns. And also just highlighting the fact that, you know, everything is still really uncertain for us. Like, even the, you know, the plan that came out today, even at 80%, venues are still going to be at less than 25% capacity, you know. So, you know, at a point where it's not lockdown for most people, for the entertainment industry, every time we've been about 6 or 7 weeks behind everyone else getting back to normal. And especially over the last few months when, you know, it's been a lockdown every month, it's kind of been a bit insane. Weirdly, the online environment has actually been more stable, because you at least know you'll get a certain amount of people there, rather than, you know, throwing money into a live event where you think you're going to have 150 people, you know, seats at the show, and then it gets reduced down to 35, which has happened. You know, it's like you still spend the same amount of money on marketing and venue costs. So,
yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, that, you know, like you'd be saving money on traveling, on hotel accommodation, you know, going to one of the festivals in Adelaide or up into Brisbane. So in a way, it's more, you know, cost effective for a cabaret artist like you. Is that right?
Absolutely, and I don't have to wear shoes. and, you know, I can, you know, I finish the gig, I'm home straight away. You know, I don't have to worry about paying for an Uber to get home because I've had too much wine to drink. It's been wonderful in that sense. But that that idea, you know, afterwards of finishing a show and seeing everyone who's enjoyed the show, and you know, that foyer like life that I've been really craving and missing, and you know, that buzz before a show. Hearing people outside, it's so bizarre trying to, you know, sing or tell jokes to like a computer screen and just going, well, I hope you laughed at that, you know?
Do you still get the do you still get the post-show buzz and adrenaline after you've performed and then have to figure out a way to channel it?
Yes, and what I end up doing, because I started doing them by myself, and then I realized I'm burning through all of my material way too quickly, and when everything opens up, everyone's going to be like, I've seen this a million times, be clever about this. And, you know, my creativity in lockdown isn't what it normally is, so, you know, sometimes I can write some new stuff, and sometimes I'm like, I absolutely have no brain space for that. But I started getting other people involved, so getting people on Zoom, like other performers, and then basically, I figured out streaming, which took a really long time, just watching things on tutorials of like online gaming tutorials and stuff, and figuring out how I can, you know, get a Zoom screen.
Hold on, online gaming? Running. Online gaming?
Yeah,
you were learning, you know, like how to stream for a live show by online gaming?
Like Twitch?
Yeah, because... Like Twitch, because there was nothing out there for, like, online performances.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff on Facebook, they, you know, sort of, if you're doing certain songs or whatever, Facebook will ban you. Like, they'll copyright and stop the music or the sound coming through.
Wow.
And also, it's flawed. And so, and also the idea of being able to control my own sound and being able to, you know, have some sort of, like, reverb or, you know, delay or that sort of thing isn't available just on YouTube or, sorry, not on YouTube, on Instagram or Facebook. So, I had to learn OBS, which is like an online broadcasting system, which is what a lot of gamers use. And they have, you know, their game running simultaneously with a chat and also, you know, their actual video camera all running at once. And I was like, well, this is kind of similar to what I want to do. Let's figure it out. So just spent, I don't know, probably a month and a half just trying to figure it out to begin with. But I eventually worked it out.
What happens though, because there's a lot of people who have been around the scene for a long time in cabaret. They would be struggling with, you know, like, obviously you've picked all that up and you've worked it out. But there, you must be talking to other cabaret performers that aren't as savvy as you on that front.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, I've been, anyone who, you know, sort of wants to ask questions or whatever, my, you know, my inbox has always been open to that kind of thing. But that's why I also incorporated the Zoom element of my show so that I could get other cabaret performers or burlesque performers or drag performers involved, and all they'd have to do is log onto a Zoom. And then we'd do a dress rehearsal, which would basically just be a Zoom meeting earlier that afternoon, and just make sure that their music's coming through and that the lighting's all good and that, you know, I can hear them, and just run through what buttons they had to press so that everything sounded great. And then they would just open their Zoom and they'd be part of the performance. And they wouldn't have to worry about any of that other end of it. I would be worrying about all of that. So I'd introduce them and then I'd change the screen over to them. And then as long as they had all the settings correct, and if they didn't, well, we'd figure it out because it's live theatre, so sure. And then they just to perform in that way. But I really wanted to open up the access in that particular, because I totally understand that, you know, not many people have the, you know, tech competencies and stuff that, you know, I'm blessed to have. So,
And what about your neighbours? You know, like, are they banging on the wall saying, shut up? When you're like, or have you got good neighbours?
Or encore.
Or encore. Or do you give them free access?
I'm actually really fortunate that my apartment that I'm in, one side is the elevator and the other side is another room of my house. So I'm actually, it's the hallway is to where, it's either the lounge room or the hallway. So basically they could probably hear it in the hallway, but they wouldn't be able to hear it from the other apartments on my level, which is good.
Yeah, they can still pay for a show then.
Exactly. I'm not giving it away for free.
And have you got another production coming up online soon?
I am actually being part of the Ballarat Cabaret Festival, which is next weekend. They're doing monthly online salons. And so myself and Trevor Jones and Geraldine Quinn and a few other people are going to be part of that. And it'll be a Zoom gig, so different to what I do, but you get to log on to the Zoom and I think we get to like interact with the people in the audience, the Zoom audience and stuff like that a bit more, which will be cool. So that's the only thing I definitely have planned coming up. My fiance has been on holiday for the last 2 weeks because he's been forced to take holiday in a pandemic. So I've kind of been like, I'm just going to actually sit around and do nothing for 2 weeks.
Oh, lovely.
Wonderful. But I've also found, I think, everything's so unpredictable and so random at the moment that it's better to kind of put these things on. Sorry, I'm just like choking 1 second. Oh, there we go. It's better to kind of put these things on. Like some days I've put up, you know, my online gig 3 days before I'm about to do it and everyone's like, yeah, let's get on board and do it. Whereas I find if I do it like 2 weeks in advance, the ticket sales are actually worse for that because no one actually plans anything in a pandemic. Yeah, so I've really been kind of just feeling the vibe of, you know, how we're all feeling and what's going on. And, well, you know, usually...
You're going to be such a, you know, like savvy producer after all of this, aren't you? Being, you know, like we're on the tech side and, you know, like knowing when put ticket sales up and this, that and the other. It's, you know, like you've really done it well, haven't you? Like obviously a lot of hard work to get here, but congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's it was kind of like a weird conglomerate of skills that I sort of already had, but it's definitely put it to the test when I have to be my own sound and lighting and videographer person at the same time as try to perform. I'm glad I have the skills. I definitely, you know, it's not my preference to use them all at once constantly. But you know, that's what we do as artists. We pivot, we survive, and we try and do what we love and get it out there to make other people happy.
Brilliant. Well, like she'll make you happy, people. Make sure you catch one of her shows because apart from the amazing voice, you're very funny as well. And I love your look too.
Thank you.
I love that whole look that you have. So thanks for chatting to us today. As a matter of fact, you know, you're a superstar now. You're like a big story in The Age last week.
I think it's because I had a pretty photo. I think that's all it was, but that's I'm just kidding.
Thanks so much, Tash.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Thanks for doing our call out. Thanks.
I love it. My pleasure. Bye.
We've been talking to Tash York, who is a singer, improviser, cabaret performer, who is going to be performing at the Ballarat Cabaret Festival Showcase in late September. So look her up online and check it out.
You're on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.